Good evening, Dr. Powers. How are you? You know, it's ironic that we were going to talk about an audio with an audiologist and industry consultant about hearing devices, and we couldn't hear each other. I thought that was.
Sometimes that happens.
So, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great.
Great. So, by the way, if anybody has any questions they'd like to ask the doctor concerning this new availability of over-the-counter hearing aids, 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. This went into effect October 17th, and the statistics that I read say that roughly 38 million Americans have some degree of hearing loss and would benefit from a hearing aid, and that a prescription will no longer be required to gain access. What does that mean to you, Dr. Powers? I mean, that's on the surface, that sounds reasonable, but I'm sure there has to be more to it than just that. It can't be that simple.
Yeah, and nothing usually is when it sounds, right. Sounds to be that simple. So quite a few years ago, the process began with a series of workshops in Washington, of course, with FDA and FTC and a bunch of agencies. And in 2017, we saw the legislation pass and be signed that would have created this category. It took about 4+ years to get it through the FDA to get final regulations. COVID, of course, had a lot to do with it. But basically, what we're seeing here is Up till Monday, hearing aids were available through audiologists and hearing aid specialists and some physicians as a prescriptive device, meaning you needed to see a professional to get a device. As of Monday, you're able to get over-the-counter devices, and there's two classifications. We'll come back to that, but two classifications of devices, OTC and self-fit OTC, that you can purchase without the intervention or the need to see an audiologist or a hearing aid specialist. Now, they are for people who are over 18. This doesn't involve children because they have very special needs in regards to their speech and language development. But for anyone that's over 18 that has a perceived, that's a key word, perceived hearing loss that you think is mild to moderate, you can go to a variety of places. Some pharmacies have announced it. Best Buy has announced, other places have announced that they'll be carrying these devices that should cost a little bit less, but primarily because you're not paying for any of the services of the professional. You're still paying for the devices themselves.
So when you say you can go to, you know, Best Buy, et cetera, they will test, who will test your hearing? A machine, a person? Do you know how that works?
That's still a little unclear.
Yeah.
The regulations are very clear that there cannot be a requirement for the intervention of a professional. So nobody can require you to do that. Now,
gotcha.
It's certainly in anybody's best interest. If you think you have a hearing loss, and as an audiologist, I guess I'd be remiss to say that I think the best thing would be to at least have a hearing test so you know, are these devices appropriate for me? And what type of device, depending on, you know, my lifestyle, where do I want to use it, et cetera. But we expect that there'll be some online testing available either before you go in, or there could be, you know, a kiosk or a little some setup with a headset. It's not quite clear yet. We're about 2 days into this right now. But that there'll be some kind of a way for you to have some kind of a hearing screening or maybe a basic test to ensure that the devices might be appropriate. And then they'll be on the shelf. You know, you can sort of look at the features that are there. You know, do you want it to connect to your phone, et cetera, and then purchase the one that you think is most appropriate for it. It's really a self-fitting over-the-counter scenario.
Well, we're talking to Dr. Thomas Powers, industry consultant, audiologist, and we're going to do more when we come back on 720 WGN. Thanks for tuning in tonight. John Landecker talking about the availability of over-the-counter hearing aids with Dr. Thomas Powers, who's an industry consultant and audiologist. I was reading up on it today, Doctor, and some of what I read said that it's going to be the quote they have here is that it's going to be like the wild, wild west out there for a couple of years. You know what I'm referring to, right? I mean,
yeah.
Technology, and exactly what are they referring to?
Well, I think part of it is that this is a whole new classification, if you will, a whole new set of devices that are going to be available. And as I mentioned earlier, we have two new ones, OTC and self-fitting OTC, and they're two sort of different devices. The OTC are what I would, be sort of basic hearing aids. They might have a push button that could allow you to have preset memory. So out of the box, you put it on, wow. You can push those, and you could hear in, normal environments, maybe one for listening to TV, one for noisy environments, and then the self-fitting OTC will probably have an app or some other mechanism for you to do some adjustments to sort of get to the idea of self-fitting or self-tuning it, but not nearly as it will be for the prescription, which is the third class of devices that actually uses computer software to do that. So the concern is, of course, with these new devices coming in, there may be some players that concerned with offering things like a return privilege. It's not a requirement of the FDA regulations. And so you may buy something, take it home and try it, and then sort of didn't read the medium or fine print to say, oops, by the way, this can't be returned. So, that's one of the concerns that we all have in professionals, is that you get the device that works for you, it gives you some benefit, and if you don't, then you have the right to return it. So I would tell people to really take a look at the devices when you go into the stores, wherever it may be, the Wild West, and be sure that there is a return privilege. There's a warranty on that device.
Yeah.
If it's important for you to connect to your phone, that it has Bluetooth connectivity, that if you're going to use this in noise, it has a directional microphone. All those things are supposed to be listed according to the labeling requirements that the FDA put out for these devices. So there should be enough information for consumers to make a relatively informed decision. But you do have to take some time to research that and find out what kind of devices are available.
Yeah, buyer beware to a certain extent. I mean, they're not hearing aids. I guess, what do you call the product that's been out there now? Just amplified listening devices that are not labeled OTC. And I think that's a big distinction.
Yes, there's another class that the FDA has sort of redefined, and that is what we call PSAPs, or personal sound amplification products.
Right.
And these were sort of crept into the hearing aids area, but it's clear now that those devices cannot be marketed to people with hearing aids. You can't advertise them for people that have hearing loss, I should say. They're intended for people with normal hearing that want to put that on when you're in the woods and you want to listen to birds and you want to hear, nature and so forth. But they're not intended. That's the phrase that the FDA uses. What is the intended use of that medical device? And if the intended use is for people with hearing loss, then they're OTC hearing aids, self-fitting hearing aids, or prescriptive hearing aids, or it's a cochlear implant, of course. But all those are truly regulated devices here in the United States.
Right. I understood the other one is basically amplifies every possible sound that's around you. But really doesn't have anything to do with understanding speech specifically or anything like that. As you said, if you want to hear the birds and the bees, but that's what it'll do. This does not eliminate in any way, shape, or form the need for some individuals to see a professional and also to get a hearing device that is not over the counter but is by prescription, right?
Correct. Yep. We have those three classes of device, and if you're outside of that perceived mild to moderate, again, there's no clear definition there, but if you have a more significant hearing loss, or you may have also, if you do get a hearing test, you may find that you have a unusual audiogram or hearing test configuration that may require one of those devices. The other advantage, of course, of going to see a professional and have a hearing test is that they're going to look in your ears, and this could be a simple problem with earwax. And so, audiologists can take that out or refer you to your general physician, to have the earwax cleaned out. And, you may not even need to go shopping or offer a device. So there's a lot of benefits to just going and having that basic hearing test done. Some depending on insurance coverage, you may have to pay for it, but $100 or so could be very well invested to have that test, make sure that you don't have any contraindications, so to speak, for trying one of these devices. And then they could also give you some counseling on the type and style of device that, that may be most appropriate for your listening needs.
Is there a basic difference between an over-the-counter and prescription device, or are they have a lot in common?
Well, they probably will have a lot in common in terms of how they look. You know, they'll look like, probably some of them will look like traditional hearing aids. We are seeing some already that look like earbuds and even, you know, our AirPods, and that I'm giving a commercial for those guys, but you know, they look like sort of those devices. And there's some other unique form factors or styles, if you will, that are coming out. I think the big difference really between both the OTC and CellFit and the prescription is really the ability to program them individually for your hearing loss and for the professional to really get that tuned exactly for you, especially, again, if you have more severe loss or a unique configuration to your loss. And they may have some more advanced features, too. You know, some of these will have feedback reduction, for example. It was always something people talked about. You know, your grandfather's hearing aid's always whistling when he's wearing it. Well, more modern hearing aids have feedback reduction, have directional microphones, which means we have two microphones. One faces forward, one faces back. It helps with background noise. You know, advanced features like that. I mean, some of the more advanced prescriptive devices have motion detectors in that for people that have balance issues and maybe live alone, it's a capability to do fall detection. So if you would happen to fall, it's kind of like those devices that you see, I've fallen and I can't get up, but your hearing aid can actually do that today. So there's a lot of applications in the prescriptive side for people that, that have very specific listening needs. But if you're what I call a situational wearer, you know, when your grandkids come over, occasionally you go to dinner, maybe in meetings, whatever, you know, specific situations where you're having difficulty, maybe you're not going to wear it 24 hours a day or even 16 hours a day, you know, trying an OTC type device after you've had a hearing test and understand what your needs are could be a very first step, you know, in getting hearing help. You know, as you mentioned, you know, almost 40 million people in the U.S. have hearing loss. And, you know, right now, you know, probably, you know, half of those people are not wearing a device because they're too vain, think they're, you know, they don't look right and they don't want to bother changing batteries. There's a whole bunch of reasons why people decide not to intervene in their health issues. So,
you know, you've mentioned a whole bunch of features that I never even considered. And it brings to mind a question that I think should be asked of these over-the-counter OTCs are not. I mean, the ones you were talking about obviously have to have a hefty price tag to it, but the over-the-counter OTCs, they're not actually, I mean, they're not dirt cheap, are they?
No. You know, the ones we're seeing that have been sort of launched in the last few days that are going to be at places like, you know, Walgreens, Best Buy, some of the other places that have already announced in the press, you know, you're seeing starting prices at $699, $799, up to $1,000 for a pair now, you know. You could go to a hearing professional, and even at an entry mid-level price, you still may be seeing $2,000 or $3,000. But remember, you're also getting the testing, you're getting advanced programming, you're going to go back to the office for follow-up and counseling. So all of those services are sort of included and bundled into those prices. Where the other things are just the device. You're buying it. You're taking it home. You take it out of the package, and you start, you know, again, a self-fitting process. So in essence, you're paying yourself to do it as opposed to paying somebody else to do it by maybe saving some of that money. And for some people, I think for some people, it's really going to be an effective way for them to get some help and to start as maybe their hearing loss changes or their listening needs become more intense. Maybe they change jobs and they're going to be more in meetings or, you know, if you work someplace where there's a lot of background noise. My classical example is always somebody who's a greeter or maitre d' at a restaurant. You can think about how noisy that is. You have to listen to people's names, how many people are in your party. Did you have a reservation or not? The kitchen's going on. There's people talking. I mean, that's a pretty difficult listening environment. And you're probably going to have some very specific needs for directional microphones and noise reduction. So somebody like that might be better served with a prescriptive device as opposed to trying an over-the-counter device, but that doesn't mean they couldn't start there and see how that works for them. And as long as they can return it, they can then move on to see a professional.
I think that's a very important point. We touched on it earlier, and we have to wrap it up now. But I think that's an important aspect of this for someone who's not really in this business to walk into whatever, a drugstore or Best Buy, and buy one of these devices, that you make sure that it has a warranty and a return policy, because,
correct,
you know, I'm no technical expert, you know, and I could screw something up just like that. So I want to make sure that I've got some protection. Dr. Thomas Powers, thank you so much for being with us. I totally appreciate you taking the time tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. Have a nice evening.
You too. That's Dr. Thomas Powers, audiologist and industry consultant. Good evening, Dr. Powers. How are you? You know, it's ironic that we were going to talk about an audio with an audiologist and industry consultant about hearing devices, and we couldn't hear each other. I thought that was
sometimes that happens.
So how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great.
Great. So, by the way, if anybody has any questions they'd like to ask the doctor concerning this new availability of over-the-counter hearing aids, 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. This went into effect October 17th, and the statistics that I read say that roughly 38 million Americans have some degree of hearing loss and would benefit from a hearing aid, and that a prescription will no longer be required to gain access. What does that mean to you, Dr. Powers? I mean, that's on the surface, that sounds reasonable, but I'm sure there has to be more to it than just that. It can't be that simple.
Yeah, and nothing usually is when it sounds,
right,
sounds to be that simple. So quite a few years ago, the process began with a series of workshops in Washington, of course, with FDA and FTC and a bunch of agencies. And in 2017, we saw the legislation pass and be signed that would have created this category. It took about 4+ years to get it through the FDA to get final regulations. COVID, of course, had a lot to do with it. But basically, what we're seeing here is, Up till Monday, hearing aids were available through audiologists and hearing aid specialists and some physicians as a prescriptive device, meaning you needed to see a professional to get a device. As of Monday, you're able to get over-the-counter devices, and there's two classifications. We'll come back to that, but two classifications of devices, OTC and self-fit OTC, that you can purchase without the intervention or the need to see an audiologist or a hearing aid specialist. Now, they are for people who are over 18. This doesn't involve children because they have very special needs in regards to their speech and language development. But for anyone that's over 18 that has a perceived, that's a key word, perceived hearing loss that you think is mild to moderate, you can go to a variety of places. Some pharmacies have announced it. Best Buy has announced, other places have announced that they'll be carrying these devices that should cost a little bit less, but primarily because you're not paying for any of the services of the professional. You're still paying for the devices themselves.
So when you say you can go to, you know, Best Buy, et cetera, they will test, who will test your hearing? A machine, a person? Do you know how that works?
That's still a little unclear.
Yeah.
The regulations are very clear that there cannot be a requirement for the intervention of a professional. So nobody can require you to do that. Now,
gotcha.
It's certainly in anybody's best interest, if you think you have a hearing loss, and as an audiologist, I guess I'd be remiss to say that I think the best thing would be to at least have a hearing test so you know, are these devices appropriate for me? And what type of device, depending on, you know, my lifestyle, where do I want to use it, et cetera. But we expect that there'll be some online testing available either before you go in, or there could be, you know, a kiosk or a little some setup with a headset. It's not quite clear yet. We're about 2 days into this right now. But that there'll be some kind of a way for you to have some kind of a hearing screening, or maybe a basic test to ensure that the devices might be appropriate. And then they'll be on the shelf. You know, you can sort of look at the features that are there. You know, do you want it to connect to your phone, et cetera, and then purchase the one that you think is most appropriate for it. It's really a self-fitting, over-the-counter scenario.
Well, we're talking to Dr. Thomas Powers, industry consultant, audiologist, and we're going to do more when we come back on 720 WGN. Thanks for tuning in tonight. John Landecker talking about the availability of over-the-counter hearing aids with Dr. Thomas Powers, who's an industry consultant and audiologist. I was reading up on it today, Doctor, and some of what I read said that it's going to be the quote they have here is that it's going to be like the wild, wild west out there for a couple of years. You know what I'm referring to, right? I mean,
yes,
the technology,
yes.
And exactly what are they referring to?
Well, I think part of it is that this is a whole new classification, if you will, whole new set of devices that are going to be available. And as I mentioned earlier, we have two new ones, OTC and self-fitting OTC, and they're two sort of different devices. The OTC are what I would, be sort of basic hearing aids. They might have a push button that could allow you to have preset memory. So out of the box, you put it on, wow. You can push those, and you could hear in, normal environments, maybe one for listening to TV, one for noisy environments, and then the self-fitting OTC will probably have an app or some other mechanism for you to do some adjustments to sort of get to the idea of self-fitting or self-tuning it, but not nearly as it will be for the prescription, which is the third class of devices that actually uses computer software to do that. So the concern is, of course, with these new devices coming in, there may be some players that concerned with offering things like a return privilege. It's not a requirement of the FDA regulations. And so you may buy something, take it home and try it, and then sort of didn't read the medium or fine print to say, oops, by the way, this can't be returned. So, that's one of the concerns that we all have in professionals is that you get the device that works for you, it gives you some benefit, and if you don't, then you have the right to return it. So I would tell people to really take a look at the devices when you go into the stores, wherever it may be, the Wild West, and be sure that there is a return privilege, there's a warranty on that device.
Yeah.
If it's important for you to connect to your phone, that it has Bluetooth connectivity, that if you're going to use this in noise, it has a directional microphone. All those things are supposed to be listed according to the labeling requirements that the FDA put out for these devices. So there should be enough information for consumers to make a relatively informed decision, but you do have to take some time to research that and find out what kind of devices are available.
Yeah, buyer beware to a certain extent. I mean, there have already been, they're not hearing aids. I guess, what do you call the product that's been out there now? Just amplified listening devices that are not labeled OTC. And I think that's a big distinction.
Yes, there's another class that the FDA has sort of redefined, and that is what we call PSAPs, or personal sound amplification products.
Right.
And these were sort of crept into the hearing aids area, but it's clear now that those devices cannot be marketed to people with hearing aids. You can't advertise them for people that have hearing loss, I should say. They're intended for people with normal hearing that want to put that on when you're in the woods and you want to listen to birds and you want to hear, nature and so forth. But they're not intended. That's the phrase that the FDA uses. What is the intended use of that medical device? And if the intended use is for people with hearing loss, then they're OTC hearing aids, self-fitting hearing aids, or prescriptive hearing aids, or it's a cochlear implant, of course. But all those are truly regulated devices with here in the United States.
Right. I understood the other one is basically amplifies every possible sound that's around you. But really doesn't have anything to do with understanding speech specifically or anything like that. As you said, if you want to hear the birds and the bees, but that's what it'll do. This does not eliminate in any way, shape, or form the need for some individuals to see a professional and also to get a hearing device that is not over the counter but is by prescription, right?
Correct. Yep. We have those three classes of device, and if you're outside of that perceived mild to moderate, again, there's no clear definition there, but if you have a more significant hearing loss, or you may have also, if you do get a hearing test, you may find that you have a unusual audiogram or hearing test configuration that may require one of those devices. The other advantage, of course, of going to see a professional and have a hearing test is that they're going to look in your ears, and this could be a simple problem with earwax. And so, you know, those, you know, audiologists can you know, take that out or refer you to your, you know, general physician, or, you know, to have the earwax cleaned out. And, you know, you may not even need to go shopping or offer a device. So there's a lot of benefits to just going and having that basic hearing test done. You may, you know, some depending on insurance coverage, you may have to pay for it, but, you know, $100 or so could be very well invested to have that test, make sure that you don't have any contraindications, so to speak, for trying one of these devices. And then they could also give you some counseling on the type and style of device that may be most appropriate for your listening needs.
Is there a basic difference between an over-the-counter and prescription device, or are they have a lot in common?
Well, they probably will have a lot in common in terms of how they look. You know, they'll look like, probably some of them will look like traditional hearing aids. We are seeing some already that look like earbuds and even, you know, our AirPods, and that I'm giving a commercial for those guys, but you know, they look like sort of those devices. And there's some other unique form factors or styles, if you will, that are coming out. I think the big difference really between both the OTC and CellFit and the prescription is really the ability to program them individually for your hearing loss and for the professional to really get that tuned exactly for you, especially, again, if you have more severe loss or a unique configuration to your loss. And they may have some more advanced features, too. You know, some of these will have feedback reduction, for example. It was always something people talked about. You know, your grandfather's hearing aid's always whistling when he's wearing it. Well, more modern hearing aids have feedback reduction, have directional microphones, which means we have two microphones. One faces forward, one faces back. It helps with background noise. You know, advanced features like that. I mean, some of the more advanced prescriptive devices have motion detectors in that for people that have balance issues and maybe live alone, it's a capability to do fall detection. So if you would happen to fall, it's kind of like those devices that you see, I've fallen and I can't get up, but your hearing aid can actually do that today. So there's a lot of applications in the prescriptive side for people that have very specific listening needs. But if you're what I call a situational wearer, you know, when your grandkids come over, occasionally you go to dinner, maybe in meetings, whatever, you know, specific situations where you're having difficulty, maybe you're not going to wear it 24 hours a day or even 16 hours a day, you know, trying an OTC type device after you've had a hearing test and understand what your needs are could be a very first step, you know, in getting hearing help. You know, as you mentioned, you know, almost 40 million people in the U.S. have hearing loss. And, you know, right now, you know, probably, you know, half of those people are not wearing a device because they're too vain, think they're, you know, they don't look right, and they don't want to bother changing batteries. There's a whole bunch of reasons why people decide not to intervene in their health issues. So,
you know, you've mentioned a whole bunch of features that I never even considered, and it brings to mind a question that I think should be asked of these over-the-counter OTCs are not. I mean, the ones you were talking about obviously have to have a hefty price tag to it, but the over-the-counter OTCs, they're not actually, I mean, they're not dirt cheap, are they?
No. You know, the ones we're seeing that have been sort of launched in the last few days that are going to be at places like, you know, Walgreens, Best Buy, some of the other places that have already announced in the press, you know, you're seeing starting prices at $699, $799, up to $1,000 for a pair now, you know. You could go to a hearing professional, and even at an entry mid-level price, you still may be seeing $2,000 or $3,000. But remember, you're also getting the testing, you're getting advanced programming, you're going to go back to the office for follow-up and counseling. So all of those services are sort of included and bundled into those prices, where the other things are just the device. You're buying it, you're taking it home, you take it out of the package, and you start, you know, again, a self-fitting process. So in essence, you're paying yourself to do it, as opposed to paying somebody else to do it by maybe saving some of that money. And for some people, I think it's really going to be an effective way for them to get some help and to start as maybe their hearing loss changes or their listening needs become more intense. Maybe they change jobs and they're going to be more at meetings, or, you know, if you work someplace where there's a lot of background noise. My classic example is always somebody who's a greeter or maitre d' at a restaurant. You can think about how noisy that is. You have to listen to people's names, how many people are in your party. Did you have a reservation or not? The kitchen's going on. There's people talking. I mean, that's a pretty difficult listening environment. And you're probably going to have some very specific needs for directional microphones and noise reduction. So somebody like that might be better served with a prescriptive device as opposed to trying an over-the-counter device. But that doesn't mean they couldn't start there and see right. how that works for them. And as long as they can return it, they can then move on to see a professional.
I think that's a very important point. We touched on it earlier, and we have to wrap it up now. But I think that's an important aspect of this for someone who's not really in this business to walk into a drugstore or Best Buy and buy one of these devices, that you make sure that it has a warranty and a return policy because,
correct.
You know, I'm no technical expert, you know, and I could screw something up just like that. So I want to make sure that I've got some protection. Dr. Thomas Powers, thank you so much for being with us. I totally appreciate you taking the time tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. Have a nice evening.
You too. That's Dr. Thomas Powers, audiologist and industry consultant.